welcome to another episode of Basketball. I'm Sean Woodley.
And I'm a woman alone eating yogurt.
And today's show is brought to you by Rasheed Wallace, who on this day in 2022, Katie, was the subject of a video posted to YouTube called Rasheed Wallace with two monster dunks! Exclamation point. 1999 Blazers vs. Warriors. It has 6 views. It's on the Forgettables YouTube channel. And it's just two dunks that Rasheed Wallace has in a game in the middle of the season against the Golden State Warriors. Anton Jameson's Golden State Warriors. I guess the title of this is meaningful, the Forgettables. I would never have remembered that these two dunks happened. They're pretty innocuous dunks, but Katie, we've seen this before, people just posting random videos of one-off Rasheed Wallace highlights. Do you think our gospel has been spreading and people are just looking to celebrate Sheed more often? Is the influence, the influence, is that, God, is that expanding here?
I'm not so delusional as to say yes. I hope this is just kind of naturally occurring. Though The low view count, that's a little bit worrisome to me.
In fairness, it was posted 8 hours ago. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Literally posted on this day in 2022. This account does have, how many subscribers does this account have? Now I'm curious. It's got over 100,000 views. It's not really totally robust in terms of the video.
How long is the video?
It's a 2-minute-long video. It's like a full chunk of a game.
Okay.
You got some fun guys you remember in there. It's a good time. You want me to send you the link for these two dunks?
Sure.
Okay, cool. I'll send you the link in the chat. If everyone wants to go look, again, the title of the video is just Rasheed Wallace with two monster dunks, exclamation point, 1999 Blazers versus Warriors. So everyone can go check that out. Very, very low-key dunks. I got to ask you, Katie, do you think Rasheed Wallace is a yogurt man?
Yeah. I bet, who's not? I guess lactose intolerant people. I was going to say, who's not a yogurt fan? But
I'm not really a yogurt fan that much. I'll eat like a Greek yogurt sometimes.
But have you tried Liberté Mediterranean yogurt?
I can't say that I have. We are a PC household.
Try this kind and then you get back to me about yogurt.
All right. Okay. I'll do some investigation. I do like a yogurt with some fruit flavor to it, like a Greek blueberry yogurt or like a key lime Greek yogurt. I can mess with that, but it's more because it's like indulgent.
Yeah, I got a blackberry going and I put also blackberries in the blackberry yogurt.
Ooh.
Quite good.
That's a wise move.
These dunks are not forgettable. These are great.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they're nice dunks. It's just, they're not dunks that would like come to mind as like all-time highlights or anything.
Damon Stoudemire looks so weird.
Uh-huh.
Why they call him the Little General? Was that ever his nickname?
No, Mighty Mouse was his nickname, his whole career.
Well, they have it like in the bottom of the screen with his stats, Little General.
That's really funny. That's great.
It's cute.
Portland broadcast in 1999 doing some work. anyway, thank you to the Forgettables YouTube page for bringing this into our lives today.
Rasheed is so fast.
Yeah, he's a spry man.
In this last dunk, long-legged, running down the court, just like a beautiful horse set free. man, it's a really good dunk. The way he goes a full 360 pendulum with his body.
I'm going to see if I can find this game against the Warriors. It's from 1999. I'm not sure if it's in the first part of the back part of the 98-99 season or in the first part of the 99-2000 season, but let's try to find it here, I guess. I want to see what he did. This could be just me guessing blindly. What arena is in Portland, correct?
Yeah, I'm tossing this a rare YouTube like. I've only ever liked like 3 videos on YouTube.
Subscribe to the page, perhaps. No?
No. I also don't. I haven't subscribed to any pages.
Fair enough. So we've got December the 23rd here against the Warriors. That's in Golden State, so that's not going to cut it here. And then we got, so there's, okay, so it's from the other season. It's from the 98-99 season, it seems. Continuing to narrow down here by process of elimination. This is great podcasting. Portland at Golden State. Portland hosts Golden State. Scores just 12 points in one of these games. That seems like it's wrong. And then 5 points in another one. Katie, I don't know which one this is going to be. It might actually be, okay, I think I've landed on it. It's December the 23rd, 1999. There was actually a home game for Portland against the Warriors. They win by 20. What's the score in this? They're up by a couple points here, so the context clues are not helping me much, but I'm gonna guess it was this 1999 game in December against the Golden State Warriors, where he scores 20 points on 8 of 12 shooting. That seems to check out. Anyway, that was a weird digression. Katie, how you been? It's been a week. We've got things going on. How are you?
I'm good. I got no complaints. I always am debating, am I going to talk about the stuff I'm working on or not? But, I won't. I'm working on a lot of stuff, and I finished a huge thing yesterday. And I have to say, the day after I, finish a story, especially a very involved, long kind of feature, my brain just kind of feels beautifully just like spilled out, you know, empty for a little while.
Right.
It's a good feeling.
That's how I feel at the end of every episode of A Basketball, Katie. No.
Great.
It's a very rewarding thing. Well, that's good. I'm glad you're plugging away. I, Katie, in the last week, we started something, my beautiful fiance and I. We have watched all of the TV shows at this point. We've seen them all. Nothing we haven't seen or uncovered, at least that we're interested in. And we decided to turn our attention to movies because we realized neither of us have seen shit. Like, haven't seen Goodfellas, haven't seen any other number of movies that everybody has seen. And so
that's your one example.
Yeah, we have a whole list. Let me pull up some of the list here. We got some bangers on here we haven't seen before. You know, we've never seen John Wick, for example. Never seen Interstellar. Never seen Mad Max Fury Road. Alana's never seen Schindler's List. There's lots in here that we've never seen before. And so we've begun an odyssey of watching movies, which does tie in pretty nicely with the thing we're doing for the Patreon, Katie, because we are going to be, for the next Patreon episode coming out this weekend, watching a movie of the Patreon subscribers' choice. And I wanted to take a second here off the top of the show, Katie, to discuss our various options. I think we'll already have recorded the episode by the time people hear this, but we've got on the list of options to be voted on, Like Mike, The Way Back, Space Jam 2, and Thunderstruck. Those are the four choices here, Katie. Before we record the episode, the chronology here is weird as we're recording on Wednesday and recording the Patreon Thursday, but which of those four movies are you hoping we get to watch? Which ones are you hoping we get to avoid? Again, the results of this will be known by the time this airs, but where are you at with our movie time? What one do you want to watch?
Yeah, I guess that's good because it means we won't influence people's votes. I can't say. I mean, I've seen The Way Back. I'd watch it again. I know Thunderstruck is on Netflix, or maybe it's on Crave. It's on something that I subscribe to, so it's available. I don't really want to watch Like Mike. I just don't care.
Oh, you don't?
Probably. No. I don't. Like, I'd watch Space Jam 2, but I know I'm just, it's going to be like, I'd honestly rather watch Thunderstruck than Space Jam 2.
Yeah, I'm really hoping for not Space Jam 2. The Way Back I could watch again. I kind of want to revisit Like Mike, Katie, because that's a movie I really liked as a kid. Always enjoyed
it. I've never
music.
Seen it. I just don't want to.
Interesting. Well, you get fake basketball teams. You get Vince Carter as an antagonist. You've got, I think, Lil Bow Wow embarrasses Jason Kidd at one point, which is always a good thing. Okay. Yeah, it's I mean, it's bad, obviously. It's a kid's basketball movie, but it's pretty, as I recall, pretty entertaining and fun. So that's my hope, that is that we watch that. But I'm open for all these. Thunderstruck, I am fascinated just kind of out of curiosity of how terrible it might be. I kind of look forward to a bit of a blast of the past with the whole Thunder era KD. But I'm very excited for that. And it's just going to be another one of those classic movies that I get to watch on my odyssey of seeing some movies. We watched Children of Men to begin our odyssey, Katie. That's a good-ass movie. It's depressing, but it's very good.
Yeah, but you didn't mention, I saw you had a call out for suggestions and you didn't mention the best one you got.
What was the best one I got? I got so many. I think I kind of had to tune putting that tweet out.
You got one for me that I would say is without even seeing the other ones is the best one you got.
What was the one you sent?
You know.
I really don't. I got so many replies to that tweet, humble brag much, that I don't know. I'm going to try to find the tweet where I fucking tweet too much.
What's the one movie? You don't need to find it. What's the one movie I'm talking about constantly?
Oh, Speed. Yeah.
There you go.
Speed is on our list. I've seen it a million times. Atlanta has not, and I put it on our list because we're doing like a mutual pick, Sean's pick, Atlanta's pick type thing in rotation.
Do you get a veto?
No. You just got to, we stick to the schedule, and whoever's turn it is, that's who decides the movie, and there's no argument
that's
on it
brave.
Whatsoever. Yeah. But hey, we're one for one, Children of Men. Very, very good, as it turns out. Anyway, Katie, that's enough about my movie watching business. Let's get it to today's podcast. We have a lot to dive into. We're going to talk about Ben Simmons again because we live in a time loop and it's just never, ever going away. And the thing that you have mentioned, Katie, that maybe has kind of gone uncovered is just how fucking weird this whole Ben Simmons situation is and how unprecedented and how many things have happened since the whole Ben Simmons fracture with the Sixers took place. So we're going to kind of go back, retrace history, and bring us to the point where we're at right now, where apparently James Harden for Ben Simmons is a thing. Who the hell knows? We also, Katie, in the segment we're trying out this week, are going to have some fun inspired by the Houston Rockets. And if you follow Katie on Twitter, you probably know from last night what the thing that we're talking about is framed around. We'll save it and spoil it and later on when we get to the segment we're trying out this week. But we're doing a segment called Game Ops with a question mark, and that will be later on. So we got that. We got our posters of the week and all that good stuff coming up in today's episode. A reminder, you can go to our Patreon page and subscribe. It's $4 US, $5.50 Canadian. You can support the show, help us out, and you get to vote on which movie we watch in addition to putting in mailbag questions and all that good stuff. So without further ado, let's move forward and start off today's podcast by once again talking about Ben Simmons. That's coming up in just 1 second. All right, Katie, let's dig in to Ben Simmons, shall we? We're doing this again. I think the last episode we did before our summer hiatus was about Ben Simmons. The first episode we did when we got back from our summer hiatus was about Ben Simmons. We've done at least one Ben Simmons-centric episode since then as well. And now we're back in a place where I think we're talking about Ben Simmons again. I think it's timely and we have to because this story continues to both evolve and not change at all. And the Sixers are now a couple weeks away from the trade deadline, which is kind of the inflection point. And this whole Ben Simmons thing this year, now James Harden's in the mix. It's all very confusing, Katie. You know, we've shared our opinions on this Simmons thing before, but let's rehash them. Let's see what we're at in terms of our up-to-date feelings on this whole saga. Katie, before we kind of dive into the nitty-gritty specifics, what's your read on this Simmons thing right now? Are you enjoying the drama? Are you just wanting it to be fucking over? Like, what's your total sort of, 500-foot view, 5,000 foot? What is a lot of feet? I don't know. 30,000-foot view of this Ben Simmons saga with the Sixers that continues to trudge on.
Well, I gotta say first, I don't recall doing all those episodes about him.
We did them.
So that's just my brain in the pandemic, I guess. But yeah, I don't have any memory. I was like, we talked about it once. And when you were like, again, I was like, yeah, what's the problem? But other than that, you know, my feelings have changed in the sense that it's just growing more and more bizarre to me what's happening. The fact that they are essentially holding, and I don't just mean, I guess it's twofold. Because one, you're holding out a superstar. You know, Ben Simmons is an NBA superstar, and you're holding him out, and you're kind of holding him hostage in a strange way, and then the other side of that is it would be weird if it was happening to kind of any player. And I know it kind of, it sometimes does for maybe like, quote, lesser players based on trade, you know, possible like trade scenarios coming up. I suppose the Raptors are doing this in a weird way right now, but I think it's mutual with Goran Dragic. But the Simmons thing, it's just, it's it kind of is unprecedented to me. So it is just becoming more and more bizarre that it's going on for so long. And it mostly tells me that the Sixers are incredibly stubborn. I like Doc Rivers, but one, there's always like trickle down effects within organizations, but like Doc Rivers has been kind of bratty this season. Like I've seen multiple occasions in pressers where he'll get asked what I feel like is a perfectly fine question. Maybe it's like a little, it's like questions his decision-making, but I've also been in rooms where, you know, that happens with coaches. Sometimes people don't ask those questions, like maybe couched in niceties. I don't think you always should have to, you know, but he'll, I've seen Doc kind of fire back and be like, would you ask this question to Pop? You know, and like Pop not getting those questions is its own problem because Pop being like such a curmudgeon, you know what I mean? Like sometimes I don't find that kind of shit funny anymore. You got to do your job. Anyway, so Doc is like kind of acting in a, like in a bit of a strange, like pressure, like kind of like a pressure cooker adjacent vibe, I think. Maury, like, I don't understand, like Maury strikes me as more of like an Elon Musk type, just kind of like an oblivious, like tech crypto villain who doesn't necessarily like live in the same world, you know, as some of the people he manages. It's so weird to me that we just don't know what Ben Simmons is doing. And not to be like, I want to know what he's doing 24/7. Why isn't this guy posting? But just like, what is the situation going on here? And we have like, it's fallen so far out of our minds, you know? And like, no, I don't think it's got to stay in the news cycle. We got to talk about it every day. But there are certain things about it that are so weird that we've just like had a mental, like Men in Black flash, like device in our brains. Being like, Ben Simmons, who's that guy? You know, like, it's just, I have no idea how it's going to play out.
Yeah. And it's also been filtered through so many layers of like insider journalism as well. So it's like, you don't even actually know what Ben Simmons wants or thinks at this point. It's just all kind of allusions to, you know, Simmons's camp and whatnot. I do wonder, Katie, this is a bit of a hypothetical and we can't answer this question for sure, but do you think that if Doc Rivers had apologized for calling Ben Simmons out the day they lost to the Hawks and basically said, I don't know if he can be the point guard on a championship team. Do you think if he had apologized for that like months ago, Ben Simmons would be like, yeah, all right, let's come back and play. Do you think maybe this is just one giant grudge towards Doc Rivers, as you kind of laid out, like he's been weird and kind of bratty all season long? Maybe this dates back to the original sort of inflection point where the Simmons relationship seemed to kind of go beyond being repairable. Like, are we just waiting for an apology here?
No, I think if the relationship is in such bad shape, I mean, that's obviously a terrible thing to say. Like, no such thing as reading the room when he said that, you know, like the timing, the platform,
brutal, yeah.
Like the number of eyes on him, just like all together, the worst place to say something like that.
Contrast it with like Brett Brown, who would be like, he's our, we love, oh God, I got to figure out the Brett Brown accent again. We love Ben Simmons. He's fantastic player and we're really happy to have him on our team. It just happens that he had a really rough game 7 against the Hawks, but we really think that we can turn things around with him and make things better going forward. Like, that's, I think that was actually all right.
I think if like Doc was frustrated, it's fine to say in that situation, there's some things we got to look at as a team. That's kind of all you needed to say, right? Because any team that loses a close playoff series, that's fair. That, and it is kind of just like, can't, like it's a canned response, but you're not like throwing anyone under the bus. You're not kind of like singling anyone out, because like you could argue the same for the like Embiid or something in that series against Toronto, right? When like Mark Gasol essentially just rendered him not a basketball player. And you could even say that's like such a specific criticism because it was one guy against one guy. But the Simmons thing, it's just like it was such a misfit for so long. And you had the sense that like communication was not great and they had no clear idea of what they wanted out of Ben Simmons. And Ben Simmons also didn't really seem to care about playing there. Like both, like every person involved in that, it just had been like deteriorating for such a long time. So no, I think if he had apologized, right? One, he should never have said it, but then I guess he did say it and he didn't apologize. It certainly didn't help. But I imagine Ben Simmons' mind was kind of on the verge, you know, like a little bit on the precipice of making that decision. And then you hear something like that. I don't know. Everybody's been in a work situation like that before. When you hear, like, if you just heard your boss like shit talking you, or like your manager or something just like shit talking you after you just like gone through the most like hectic stretch of time at your job maybe you'd ever had or something, you'd be like, fuck this. Yeah. I quit. Like, I don't really need this shit. You know, like, tell me how you really feel. So I empathize with Ben in that instance. I really did. Yeah.
Do you have like a dream outcome for this situation, Katie? Because like now there's this James Harden thing, and honestly, I can't fucking think about how insufferable the Sixers freaks are going to be if Daryl Morey sort of holds out against trading Ben Simmons, even though very clearly the way this team is set up and the way Joel Embiid is fucking destroying everything he comes across right now, really, you could just get anything for Ben Simmons and they're probably championship contenders. Instead, the rumors now suggest that Morey might hold out till the summer with hopes of trading for James Harden with Ben Simmons. And if that happens, the process, people are going to be insane. The Sixers, like, oh, Daryl Morey can do no wrong. People are going to be nuts. Like, the Hinkie freaks are going to be like, yes, Hinkie was successful in the long run. Like, it's going to be a fucking nightmare. So I really don't want this to happen, but it feels like he might fall ass backwards into James Harden, which would be a bummer. Not the thing I'm rooting for. I'm curious, Katie, A, your thoughts on this Harden nonsense, or this, not maybe not nonsense, total possibility, and also your dream outcome for what happens here with Simmons.
I mean, for Simmons, my dream outcome has long been for him to leave that team. Honestly, I don't, and like, I cannot stress this enough, I do not care where Ben Simmons goes to play basketball as long as it's not on the Sixers. There is no team that I'd be like, this fit doesn't make sense. This fit is weird. This is a great fit. This is not a good fit. Like, they all are the same to me right now, which I think speaks more to the situation, right? And just like how long it's been since Ben Simmons, in the very like insular and accelerated world of the NBA, how long it's been since he's played basketball, and like how much the landscape, you know, has changed. So like I'll preface it with that, is that like I just want Ben Simmons out of there. I don't really understand Sixers fans, period.
I do. They're fucking nuts.
Yeah, but like, I feel like it is too simplistic a read. But in any of my experiences, when I've written anything about Ben Simmons, and like get singled out for it, even the things that are like, I don't understand the situation, the response is inevitably, you don't understand the situation. And it's like, yeah, man, I just said that. And I don't think you do either. The Harden thing would be weird to me only because I think the Nets like pushed so hard to get him, you know, and they were the ones that kind of got the ball rolling on what was like the biggest trade triangle, you know, of last season. That was just last season, right? Yeah. And the fact that like things are still so like a little bit like trepidatious with Kyrie Irving, you know, and like they kind of need a duality. I know Harden has been in and out with like injury and everything, kind of like that whole like star quadrant of that Nets team, but that just seems weird to me because they're already ready to just be like, we're going to give up on James Harden for Ben Simmons. And then what, like Steve Nash will work his some kind of magic, like the power of positive thinking magic on Ben Simmons, which like maybe it will work. But that just seems like a strange swap to me. And also I just think it's like a weird thing. The valuation, this is separate, but like the valuation of players in like league terms and like how quickly that all changes. Like, I don't know if these can be believed, but like, I saw like trades and like the Lakers are calling up everyone, every team in the league, and like begging them to take like Talen Horton Tucker and like a first round pick.
Kendrick Nunn. Yeah.
Yeah. And Kendrick Nunn, and like nobody's interested.
And a first round pick in 2027, which I believe is year two of the water wars. Like, it's so far away.
It is so far away, but specifically the Talen Horton Tucker thing, because just like he was our most valuable, you know what I mean? Like last summer, it was like he was. they were not with the Lowry stuff. Like, there was no way they'd give this guy up. And like, they just don't really know what they're doing. And all of this is to say is like the way teams can ruin a player's career and just like opportunities in that career by mismanagement and just like being either so stubborn or like with a real lack of like foresight or like just like understanding of even the current moment. It's a bummer. So I don't know. Yeah, maybe he'll fall backwards into James Harden. But honestly, the way James Harden has kind of been bounced around reminds me too of the way Russell Westbrook has been bounced around. And it's like, what is the value of stars, quote, star, like stars anymore? And I'll say, quote, value, because, you know, I hate speaking in these kinds of terms.
Oh, we got no. We've got Ghoul Katie. You're going to call someone a human trade exception by the end of this podcast, aren't you?
It's just so abstract, right? It is just so abstract and gross. And all this is doing is like just adding fuel to that fire. So a part of me also just, I kind of just want Ben Simmons to be like, I don't really want to play in the NBA anymore. This sucks. Yeah. And I'm going to cash out and just like go live in Australia and chill on the beach.
Yeah, just live on the Fitzroy River and fish for barramundi with a straw hat and only overalls. Nothing underneath the overalls, just overalls. Yeah, it's the Harden one's weird because it sounds, my favorite thing with Harden is the quote that said essentially he doesn't like being in Brooklyn, mostly because it's like too big city for him and he's not the quote unquote magnate he was when he was in Houston. So I don't know if Philly would scratch that itch for him. I think there was also a quote about the cold weather not really being his vibe. So, you know, maybe Philly's not the place for him. And maybe it's all sort of a Daryl Morey trying to wish cast this thing to happen. But yeah, it's a weird one. Just before we wrap up, Katie, prediction. Is Simmons traded by the deadline in 2 weeks?
What's even weirder is that it sounds like James Harden's like dream destination is Sacramento.
Literally be the king of Sacramento, and now maybe there's a three-way trade to be worked out where the Kings, yes, send over De'Aaron Fox and Harrison Barnes to the Sixers, the Nets get themselves some Ben Simmons, and James Harden gets to live out his days where he wants to be as the magnate of Sacramento. I think we just fixed all these teams' problems, Katie.
Mm-hmm. And no, I feel like Morey again has just got his like stubborn claws into this, and I don't usually believe just like the rumors that you see like sources like on Twitter, you know, like, yeah, I'm sure any GM would rather wait till the summer, right, when there's gonna be more players available, you have a fuller picture of like how the season kind of shook out, you have much more information. Literally any good business person would want to wait until summer. So I guess that's the stake I put in that rumor or whatever. But no, I don't think this is getting, if it couldn't get done like in the last 3.5 months, I don't think it's going to get done in the next 2 weeks.
I mean, the trade deadline has a way of kind of putting GMs under duress a little bit, but it certainly doesn't seem like Daryl Morey cares all that much about that duress. And yeah, no.
There's no urgency. Yeah, there's like never been any urgency for him.
I would argue there should be, because you have Joel Embiid playing like the MVP right now, and like you could add anything to that team and they become really fucking scary, but he just does not seem to care about the short game and is playing the long game, which seems like a bit of a dangerous gamble considering what we know about Joel Embiid, his injury history. Obviously not rooting for anything bad to happen, but it's not like he's been a picture of health his entire career, so it feels weird to just kind of punt on this season if you're Morey. But yeah, I don't think he's getting dealt. I think this is going to extend into the summer and it's going to get stupider and weirder as we go along. And we will surely do another episode on it at some point, Katie. We're going to move on now. We're going to go to our segment we're trying out this week. A little segment we're calling Game Ops, where we are using the inspiration of the Houston Rockets to come up with locally inspired in-arena activations. We will explain a little bit more coming up in just 1 second. All right, Katie, we have reached the segment we're trying out this week, and this week we're playing a little game called Game Ops, where we are going to use the inspiration from the Houston Rockets to build an entire segment in which we come up with locally inspired in-arena activations. And of course, this is inspired by the Rockets last night with their mechanical bull cam and the wonderful, glorious video that introduced it to those in the crowd down in Houston. Let's take a listen in now to the Houston Rockets and their cowboy crew.
Hey, Rockets fans, it's time for the mechanical bull cam.
Time to cowboy up and hold on tight.
Let's ride.
Let's ride, indeed. Katie, this is incredible. What was your reaction when you, I know you tweeted about it last night. Usually, if something's inspired you to post, it's good. So, Katie, quick impressions on the Rockets and their wonderful, wonderful in-arena activation of the mechanical bull cam and Eric Gordon dressed all up in nice cowboy gear. Christian Wood dressed up in cowboy gear. It's a very, very wonderful video, and it's just like 14 seconds of pure NBA bliss.
Yeah, I loved it. I was instantly obsessed with it. Basically, a high kind of art film vibe to me. There's like unnecessary kind of lens flares, like ethereal flashes, good sound mixing. My favorite scene is just when it opens on Eric Gordon in the middle, and he doesn't even say anything the first appearance. He just stands there smiling, moving his hand around in this like lasso motion. Then I have to say, when Christian Wood says, time to cowboy up and hold on tight, it did give me chills. And let's ride. Eric Gordon sign off of Let's Ride. Let's Ride. He's so, I mean, this is Oscar contention stuff, the way that he delivers that line. I believed him with every like fiber in my soul. All to say, it inspired me to write over 600 word review of the 14 second clip as if it was an art house film that's on Dime. Anyway, I'm pretty obsessed with it. I've watched it. Even if I hadn't written that thing, I probably still would have watched it about 45 times.
It's wonderful. Shout out to Armani Brooks as well, who's the third member in this cowboy crew. Everything about it's wonderful. I do wonder, like, the mechanical bull cam, Katie, I did not watch the Rockets game. I don't watch many Rockets games because they're the Rockets, but maybe that's going to change now. Do you know what the mechanical bull cam actually is, how the mechanic works, what the fans are asked to do? We know about the Simba cam and the Kiss cam and the Dance cam and all that. What the fuck does the mechanical bull cam ask you to do?
Yeah, in my journalistic research, I discovered that the Rockets were doing this because it was rodeo night. I think it's like the 90th anniversary of some storied rodeo that happens every year, either in Houston or like maybe Texas. Anyway, and they were giving out Rockets bandanas. They had rodeo food, and they had the mechanical bull cam. My understanding of it, I didn't see it, but just based on, you know, the little hints that we get in this short film, is that the cam itself is probably a frame, like a kind of like a sleeve put over the Jumbotron. And in the lower quadrants, you'd have this frightening looking CGI bull that you see in the video kind of moving around. And then your torso is only visible if it's over you, and you got to move around as if you're on a mechanical bull.
I'll let you behind the curtain, Katie. I'm currently gyrating as though I were on the mechanical bull cam just to try to get a feel of what it will be like. And now I think I totally understand what they're asking people to do. It's a wonderful camera. I think they should have it at all events, but it was, of course, rodeo night down in Houston. And so, Katie, we're going to use this as a way into our segment this week, where we're going to go through the teams that, like the Rockets, are struggling this season, are having a hard time getting people up for their games. They're losing a lot. They're on losing streaks. They're very little in terms of positive outlook going forward here. And so we are going to concoct some locally inspired in-arena activations, whether it's a camera, whether it's at night, for these teams to hold, for the teams that currently sit on the outside of the playoff and play-in picture in each respective conference. So we've got the Knicks, Hawks, Pacers, Pistons, Magic in the East. We've got the Pelicans, Spurs, Kings, and Thunder in addition to the Rockets in the West. Katie, where would you like to start here? Do you have one of these teams you want to assign some sort of in-arena activation to?
Yeah, I'll start with the Thunder. I hope this isn't too insensitive, but I feel like they should do a tornado can.
Please elaborate.
And then it's just like a cartoonish... Yeah, it's just like a cartoonish cyclone. Like, think of the thing that the Tasmanian devil kind of moves around in. So it's just that on the screen, and then it goes over the person in the crowd, and they got to move around as if they're in a... might put their hands up and scream, or like move around as if they're in a tornado.
I like that a lot.
There's a lot of tornadoes in Oklahoma.
There are. I'm currently trying to... Here we go. I'm actually holding in my hand the book Boomtown by Sam Anderson. Fantastic book. It's kind of about the Thunder, but mostly just about how Oklahoma City is a bizarro town. And in the book, he dives deep into Gary England, who is a famed meteorologist. Everyone trusts him with their lives, essentially, because he would be the one to come on the TV and say, run for cover, a tornado was coming, or whatever it might be, whatever horrible weather was befalling Oklahoma City. I believe he's still alive. He just doesn't do the news anymore. But I wonder if maybe you work in Gary England to sort of hype the crowd up, because he was like a full-on Westbrook and KD level celebrity in Oklahoma City. So I wonder if you get him up on there doing like a fake news broadcast. And we got a tornado warning. Everyone get buckled up. And then everybody does the tornado when the camera comes on them after being inspired by Gary England. How does that sound to you, Katie?
First, shout out to Sam, a Basketball Feeling subscriber. But yeah,
excellent.
That sounds
Gary England,
pretty
get
good.
Back in the saddle. Let's go next to the Eastern Conference, shall we? The Orlando Magic, Katie. They're very bad. They've won 9 games all season long. It's been a rough go down in Orlando. You know, you got Jalen Suggs throwing down cool dunks. That's fun. But for the most part, the Magic stay the Magic. Do you have an in-arena activation to kind of help bring some light and joy to the final 30-plus games here for the poor, poor Orlando Magic?
Yeah, and I don't want it to have anything to do with Disney, but I wonder if they are like legally obligated, you know, as like Disney is the team sponsor.
Right, right.
If like any in-arena activations have to be Disney themed, but if they don't, then I would have getting eaten by an alligator can.
Just to do as much writhing and struggling as you can.
Kind of the same as the tornado can. Mm-hmm.
I was going to suggest, this might be a thing, but the fishing cam, where there's like a fake rod that's put on the camera and you are like kind of grasping it and you have to pretend to pull in a fish, much like the NBA players who were at the bubble did. You, of course, wrote about this in one of your stories that we read on the podcast. Just a fishing cam, and you're pulling out these little small pre-stocked smallmouth bass from the lake at Disney. You tie in the Disney element, but it's kind of, you know, a little bit separate, and you get the fun element of fishing. You might get people throwing accidental elbows to people next to them, but it's all part of the game, man. You go to a game, you got to expect that, I think. How does that sound?
I like the alligator eating can better.
Yeah, you're right. I had my own suggestion. Yours is clearly better. Let's go to the New York Knicks, shall we? The Knicks currently on the outside of the play-in looking in, although they're right behind the Washington Wizards, who... Oh boy, the Wizards, that's a whole other podcast we might have to do talking about what a shit show they are. But the Knicks, Katie, looking for an in-arena activation for the New York Knicks.
I'm walking here, Cam, and you just yell at, you make rude gestures to the person beside you in the arena.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Do you think there's something in here where maybe James Dolan sort of exacts his influence over the team, and there's like a JD in the straight shot cam, like an I should have known cam, where you're forced to play a saxophone on the camera?
No, it's too niche.
You would think it's too niche. You would think JD in the straight shot is too niche, but apparently they open for the Eagles and other large bands at MSG because James Dolan makes it happen. So I don't think it's beyond him to shoehorn JD in the straight shot to the masses, even though no one in the masses wants it. Do you, I mean, I'm walking here, Cam, is really fucking good. It's hard to top that one, Katie. You're on a goddamn roll. Let's go to the Western Conference, shall we? Let's go to the New Orleans Pelicans, who are currently 18-29, a couple games out of the play-in. Probably going to catch the Blazers at some point, I would think. What are you looking at with the Pelicans? Lots of different ways you could go here. Lots of local fare that could inspire something. Of course, my dear friend and yours, King Cake Baby, is involved here as well. What do you got for the Pelicans?
I mean, kind of the obvious one is like some kind of Mardi Gras cam, but I feel like they probably already do that, don't you think?
Oh, I would assume so. Are they just giving out beads in the game?
Or? Yeah, I'll stick with my like theme like I seem to be on. It was like a murderous theme.
Right.
Grizzly death theme. It's you're getting.
Well, I like the track you're on here, Katie, as someone who you know loves terrifying mascots.
You're getting chased by the original Pierre the Pelican and King Cake Baby Cam. And they both have knives.
I like it. That's really good. Kind of on that vein, I'm wondering if, I guess this is now not something that's, it's not relevant anymore because they've changed over the situation, but something involving like a surgery cam for the old Pierre the Pelican where you get to perform the plastic surgery on him that really results in his new sort of visage. Maybe something like that could be worked in. I also am kind of going to deviate away from the cam thing idea here and go with another game op staple, which is dropping shit from the ceiling. And I think they should drop either King Cakes that have King Cake Baby, like the actual mascot dolls wrapped up as opposed to just the little plastic baby you typically find, or just hand out King Cake Baby suits so you can have the streets of New Orleans swarmed with people in King Cake Baby suits. I think that's the marketing King Cake Baby needs to turn around his sort of, dullened, public reputation, I think. So that's where I'm going. Anything to promote the propaganda of the KCB, I'm on board with.
I think it's fitting that as like an acronym, it does sound a lot like a Russian gang.
Speaking of Russian gangs, I can't find an owner. We're not talking about the Nets. Let's talk about the Atlanta Hawks, shall we? Not playing so hot. They might trade John Collins, which I think would be stupid, although they won 4 games in a row, so good for them. The Atlanta Hawks, Katie, what are they going to have for an in-arena implementation in order to spice up the back part of their lost season? Although it might not be that lost.
When like people who use Hawks, what are they called? Like Hawkers? There's like a name for them.
You're like, probably sell stuff?
A lot more proud. No, like people that keep birds of prey and use them. Or just like use them, not for real, but you can still train them anyway. But you know how they like put their arm up and then the bird will come and land on it? That's it. You have to do that. And then a cartoon hawk on the Jumbotron will land on your hand.
So it's just you're putting your arm into like, I guess that like canvas mitt that those people wear. There's like a canvas mitt on the screen and you're just sticking your arm inside of it. And that's the whole camera purpose. Any dance. I kind of like it. It's very simple and kind of stupid. And
regal
it's fantastic.
is the word you're looking for.
That's a really good one. I also was just thinking like a hawk cam where you just pretend to be a bird soaring above. You do squawk sounds, screech sounds, etc. I think that would be a kind of a good one as well. But I think yours, as has been the case throughout this entire segment, your inclination is much better than mine, Katie. Let's go to the Detroit Pistons, shall we? Also quite bad, losing a lot of games. It's been kind of a rough go there. They might trade away Jeremy Grant. Those fans need something to latch onto to make the game experience fun at the new soulless Little Caesars Arena. Katie, what do you got?
Sorry, the best I can come up with is the car driving cam.
Yeah, I guess you could take it one further and go like the assembly line cam.
That's where you're just, too bleak, man.
It's pretty bleak, isn't it?
They're at leisure. Don't make them pretend to work.
Yeah, I guess you could do something like Dwayne Casey inspired, like a Pound the Rock cam or something like that, or like different ways to skin a cat cam. No, that's fucked up. Never mind. I'm trying to think of Dwayne Caseyisms that you could turn into a cam. I guess different ways to the skin an apple cam. You got a big apple, you got to skin it all in one shot or something. Maybe it's like a race between the, okay. There's three apples. I've got it now. There's three apples. You know how they'll do like the race between the three different levels of the arena, and they have to, you know, it's like a fake pre-programmed race, but you've got to root for your level anyway. Maybe someone wins some free stuff. I think you have that. It's like a race, but it's to skin an apple in honor of Dwayne Caseyisms. And you get the three levels all skinning the apple at the same time. And then whoever wins gets like a free sandwich or something, or a free slice of Little Caesars. Yeah, the Pistons are depressing, man. I don't think you can save much of that within Arena Fun. Back to the Western Conference, Katie. The San Antonio Spurs, back down in Texas. They also have rodeos. Maybe they should probably have a mechanical bull cam in addition to the Rockets. But outside of that, what do you think they could implement to make their in-arena experience more fun as they continue to ride out the string?
Peyote cam.
Yep, let's go to the Sacramento Kings, Katie.
I was waiting for this one. I have a good one.
Yeah, what do you got?
It's the gout cam and your
the gout toe. Cam.
Yeah, your looks like your toe has gout. So you have to be like, ow, ow. Or maybe your joint, some joint is inflamed. The disease of kings, Sean.
Yeah, it superimposes a crown and makes your body look larger, like a king.
Inflamed.
Just gorging themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're looking pale. You're looking a little bit jaundiced, perhaps. And yeah, you've got the gout. Bring me my medication, is what you scream. That's a really good one, Katie. I'm glad you're on this segment because your idea is much better than mine. We've got one team left. Yeah, it is the Indiana Pacers, Katie. Maybe the most sad team there is this season. Do you have any inclinations as to what the Indiana Pacers could use in their game ops to make the in-game experience more fun?
Well, we already did cars. So I think the next thing I think of is Larry Bird. So I feel like they could have like a Larry Bird wig cam. It puts his big blonde hair on your head.
I like it. Yeah. You know, you mentioned the driving cam for the Pistons. I kind of think you could do a driving cam for the Pacers, but it could be a commentary on the necessity for taxation and building of proper infrastructure. Because I don't know, Katie, if you've ever driven through Indiana, but you're driving through Michigan and the roads are fine and smooth and beautiful. Then you get to Indiana and the roads essentially are like what I imagine the roads look like in, I don't know, some sort of post-apocalyptic film. It's like you're in the Book of Eli driving through Indiana through potholes and like freighters and horrible, horrible, misshapen roadways. It's a fucking nightmare. And then you get into Illinois and it's like, oh, wow, they fixed the roads here too. What's the tax rate here? Oh, much higher than Indiana? There, it makes sense. Cool. Yeah, so it's the driving cam in Indiana, but it's really bumpy. And so you're driving on an Indiana highway past like a Gary or something like that. And you're really bumping around. And that is, again, a commentary on the need for, investment in the place that you live, in a place like Indiana, which currently does not do much of that. How does that sound to you, Katie?
Sure. I mean, okay. Then you kind of go down a slippery slope of like most states, like their municipal upkeep totally depends on taxes, right? So are you doing that for, you could do that for a lot of teams based just on,
oh yeah,
the management of their infrastructure alone.
Mm-hmm. You're doing it for the Mavericks. You're doing it for all the Florida teams. Yeah, no, I think you do this for all teams with wonky infrastructure. It's a boring cam, but it's an important cam, Katie.
It's sponsored by people like Dan Reynolds and urban planners.
Yeah, yeah. I like it quite a bit. And Katie, we will wrap up Game Ops there. That will do it. And we go now to our posters of the week. Which, Katie, I'm struggling with this one. I have not been very online, at least on like Instagram, the last little while. And so I've been kind of a little bit in the dark on some of the best posts from the NBA. So would it be fair, Katie, if we asked you to give two? Is that too much? Or do you have two on
here? You have to do one.
Okay. Well, you go first and then I will figure one out as we talk here. Go ahead.
You can't, like, don't put that on me.
I'm sorry.
I mean, before we made a segment around it, mine is, and I think also because it's worthy of two shout outs, mine is the Houston Rockets rodeo mm-hmm. night, mechanical bull cam. But I guess specifically shout out to Armoni Brooks, Christian Wood, and Eric mm-hmm. Gordon.
Yeah, that's very good. Katie, still struggling here. I'm looking. I mean, as I go through stories here, I do like the video that Jay Crowder has posted. He was he was on the sidelines for a game that the Suns were playing recently. He's hurt, I suppose, and he's coaching from the sidelines and then points out, "I'd much rather be playing than coaching," while he's doing that. This is a terrible pick. That's bad. Let me find someone else. I'm very sorry. Come on. There's no good posts right now, Katie. Let me go to your basketball feelings and then I'll just pick one from there like I do every week because I'm a coward and I'm bad at this. We're going to go with, let's see, Cowboy Up. We've got Cowboy Up. Oh, Horse Girls Unite. You posted something with Nick Batum and horses. What's going on there?
See, you're asking me to fill in the blanks for you.
Yeah, I am, Katie. This is what's happening. You just got to have to deal with it.
Excuse me? Never mind. You're on your own.
Fair enough. Boy. I really wish something I could really use is more NBA players who do like cooking stuff on their accounts. Like I wish we could see some of that. I'll go with Chris Boucher posting a Dennis Rodman photo and go with "by any means necessary" quoted on it. It's really he seems to have really embraced like meditation and positive self-reinforcement and all of that, and I'm very happy for Chris Boucher and what he's done recently. So I'm gonna go with that. It's probably a bad one. You probably disagree with its choice, but I'm really bad at this, Katie, and I should be on more online, I suppose, is the moral of this story.
I said you're on your own. I'm not gonna save you now.
Well, we're going to wrap it there. The poster of the week is, of course, Katie Heindel, as is always the case. But we will wrap things there and wrap up the show. And thank you, as always, for tuning in. And we are very much appreciative of all those who listen to the show. We've, of course, got a Patreon episode coming up where we're going to be talking about a movie. That's going to be exciting. Very much looking forward to that. So you can keep an eye out on the Patreon feed there. If you have yet to subscribe, go do it. Patreon.com/LBasketball with two H's. You can sign up there. And it's very, very appreciated when you take the time to do so. And you'll get that Patreon episode over the weekend if you do that as well. And all of our backdated Patreon episodes as well. Katie, before we go, anything you would like to plug?
Yeah, I will plug again my film review. Of the Houston Rockets short film. And that's on Dime.
Excellent. Go check it out. It's wonderful. Everything about the Rockets is wonderful. Everything Katie writes is wonderful. So go check it out. You can find me, of course, on Locked On Raptors every single day, talking about the Raptors. And that's always fun. And Katie's on that podcast quite frequently as well. And that will do it. A big thank you to producer Greg, producer Dylan, and everyone else at Space Monkey for helping us do this podcast and allowing us to talk about weird in-arena cameras for a living. It's pretty cool. Anyway, that'll do it. We will talk to you again next week with another episode of Basketball. Bye-bye.